The Church Media Podcast, episode number 39, Directing Tips with Paul Munger and Donald Liao. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for creating dynamic experiences and building solid production teams at your church.
Video, audio, lighting, stage design, volunteer culture, and more.
You can find the show notes for this episode at 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the heart of the South, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Welcome to episode number 39 of the Church Media Podcast. I'm Carl Barnhill. Thanks for listening to us this week. This is the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church. One major thing I'm after in this podcast is to learn from masters of craft. I want to talk to powerhouse church media professionals, but I also want us to learn and hear from artists, actors, producers, directors, musicians, and more. I want us to learn from people serving in all aspects of media to learn how to be great at what we do. I want us to be great at creating media content for our screens. I want us to be great at audio, video, lighting, stage design, volunteer culture, and all aspects of the weekend experience that we create. That's why last week on the show, we had actor Kirk Cameron and producer Kevin Downs talk about creating and producing faith-based films, guys who are producing and directing major movies and documentaries that reach a massive audience. If you missed that episode, be sure to check it out on iTunes or at 1230media.com. All right, this week I have two very special interviews to share with you from two movie directors, Paul Munger, who just wrote, produced, and directed his first feature film, Princess Cut, and Donald Liao, who has directed three feature films to date and has produced and directed hundreds of short films, documentaries, and pieces all over the world. We'll start with Paul Munger, director of the film Princess Cut, which is now available on DVD and digital HD at princesscutmovie.com. This movie also features one of our 1230 blog authors and friend, Ashley Bratcher, in the starring role of the film. I talked with Paul as the movie was in theaters around the country just a few months ago. I asked him about his experience directing his first feature, and he gave some incredible insight into leading a large crew, working within a film budget, and raising funds to produce the film. We also talked about the rise in faith-based projects and where he feels the future of media is going. All right, let's dive right into the interview, and I'll be back in just a bit to also share my interview with Donald Liao. So here we go. My interview with Princess Cut director Paul Munger. Check it out.
This is an exclusive interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get shareable content and free resources for your team at 1230media.com/podcast. Here's Carl now.
I'm privileged to have Paul Munger on the phone with me. Paul is the writer, producer, and director of the new movie Princess Cut, which is playing in select theaters now. You can bring Princess Cut to a theater in your city at princesscutmovie.com. Paul, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me, man.
Thank you, Carl. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, tell me a little bit about yourself, and how did you get into the film industry and start producing and directing? What's your background?
Well, my background was actually in publishing of books and other printed material. I was an English major in publishing from Bob Jones University. But I began working with my family, serving homeschoolers, providing achievement tests and other select educational materials. And we wanted to give them some video material as well. So we came up with an idea, actually my father did, of doing a National Geographic type of show, but instead of showing evolution, showing creation and God's handiwork. And so we devised this about 10 years ago. I wrote and then shot a film, a documentary, a creation documentary called Animals in the Bible. And that was really how we got our feet wet. Just jumped right in.
Very cool. Now, Bob Jones country, I'm down in Columbia, South Carolina. My alma mater is North Greenville, so I know exactly where Bob Jones is.
It was a great school. I really learned a lot there, and you know, even though I didn't study cinema at BJU, I actually got a lot of great foundation in the, you know, English and the arts and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Yeah. All right. Now, we had Ashley Bratcher on a couple of months ago talking about her role in Princess Cut. Tell me about the movie. I read that this movie is really inspired by the story of you and your wife, Sheila. Is that correct? Tell me how the writing process of the film went.
Yeah, that is correct. It's basically something that my wife and I co-wrote, and we drew from our own personal experiences as we were trying to understand what love is all about, navigating, you know, relationships, having our heart broken, trying to mend again and restore that. And so we wanted to tell a story where we explored what is love all about? What does it look like when two people come together, and how should they behave towards one another in a God-honoring relationship? And so we, you know, worked together, drawing from our experiences. We drew from some of the best-selling relationship books that were out there on the market, whether it's from Eric and Leslie Luddy, How Let God Write Your Love Story, Josh Harris, you know, some of his fine books, the Botkins, Elizabeth Elliott. So we just drew from, you know, all of these different sources and put together a story about a young lady who had this desire to be married, and she was looking for love, but everything was crashing down. And so her father comes along and helps her discover what love is really all about.
Now, how did Ashley Bratcher come to you guys?
When we began casting for the movie, I had a few actors already in mind, so I wanted to work with Rusty Martin Sr. and Jr. We saw their auditions and just immediately loved them. We knew them from, you know, Courageous. And I was working with Katrina Cook of Cats Casting out in Texas. And she actually was one that found Ashley and recommended her. We saw her first audition for a different character, and then we had her re-audition for the lead role of Grace Anderson, and she was a perfect fit, and we're just so thankful that God brought Ashley to us.
Yeah. Now, you've served as writer and producer, and you produced Animals in the Bible, but Princess Cut was the first feature that you've directed. Am I saying that right?
That is correct. It was something that I actually was trying to avoid at first. I interviewed, you know, from my producer role, interviewed probably a half dozen directors, and the Lord just kept closing the door. And so my first AD suggested, well, you know, why don't you go ahead and direct it? You know the material really well, and this is a great opportunity on a low budget film for you to get your feet wet, to go ahead and just jump right in with it. And so prayed about it and decided to go ahead and do that, and it was a wonderful experience. I look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, wow.
I just learned so much and was able to really get involved right at the heart of the production.
Now, for our audience who is interested in directing or producing short film or short-form videos for their church, our audience consists of church media guys, things like that. Give us some advice. What are some things that you learned from your first time directing that you can share with us?
Well, there are a couple things that I took away from the experience. One would be that I wanted to gather around myself a team of people who knew and were experienced in their particular areas. And so I have a broad familiarity with, you know, there's so many pieces to the craft, whether it's camera, whether it's sound, or whether it's working with actors. So I have a basic knowledge in these areas, but I wanted to assemble a team that had already the expertise. They could focus on one particular area. And then my job as director is to give the overall overarching vision and to really let them own their part of the production and to work at that with all their strength, all their might. So that's one thing, is to have around you, to gather a team of professionals, people who are really dedicated and can focus in, and to let them run with it and to glorify the Lord with what they do well.
Now, did you serve in media or volunteer in media at churches at all when you were at Bob Jones or even before the movie?
That's a great question. I didn't actually work in media so much. Pardon me. I didn't work in audio-visual media, I should say. I worked in print. I worked with the Bob Jones Publishing, their special projects division. So I was actually a copywriter working with various print. They have a catalog and things like that, some of their magazines. And so I worked in that regard. But my own church actually didn't have a film or media, you know, aspect that I could get involved with.
Okay. Now, give us some leadership lessons. Now, you commanded a large crew doing this, or several crew members doing this feature. How can we apply some of the leading of people that you did on this film to leading volunteer teams at churches and leading groups of media people around us? Give us some leadership lessons.
Well, thank you for allowing me to share that. And being a leader, it's a privilege, and yet it is a humbling thing at the same time. And so I would say that a couple of things that I learned from my experience being the director and leading this team, it was about 30 some, somewhere in that ballpark, a team of 30 or so. And one of the things that I learned is listening. Really taking the time to hear what that crew member or even a cast member, their thoughts, their approach to what they're trying to do, and being able to work with them requires more listening than it does talking. So that would be one thing I would say. And then another thing that was really evident in creating harmony on our set was having basically the theme of our whole movie is love. And actually, we tried to put that into practice in the production. And I think the Lord really blessed us with a team that just pulled together in unison, because by love, we were serving each other. We were, you know, thinking about how can we, you know, not get the glory to ourselves? How can we glorify Christ by working together? And so that was my job as the director, is to come in love. And how does that look practically? Love gives. Love is not just taking and taking the credit or robbing the time, but it is looking for ways to serve and to complement and to build up. And so there were constant opportunities for me to do that. And even when people are getting tired, you know, that's bound to happen when you're working 14, 16, 18 hours in a day, going far into the night shooting. You have to have incredible patience. And so love is patient. Love is kind. And so we just constantly were working on that together, and I was so thankful for, you know, my first AD and other of the top tier crew members who were, you know, helping to direct overall crew and cast, that we came to it just with a heart to serve. And I think if you listen and you love, then you will be able to lead.
Now, you mentioned listening well. Talk to me about how you listen to your crew and then implement their feedback or filter that through, no, we're going to stick with this vision that I have and we're going to go in this direction, or taking that feedback and changing your plan based on their experience or whatever. So talk to me about, like, accepting feedback and implementing it.
That's excellent. Yes, that I had the privilege to work with Spencer Weaver as my director of photography, and so he would bring his vision. And it is, as you indicated, there's some balance there, because the director has his vision. He's thinking of all of the different pieces that have to be, like a puzzle, you know, assembled so that the final picture presents, you know, what he's trying to communicate. And so, but I really appreciated, you know, Spencer's input. Like you would say, we could frame it this way, or we could you know, block the scene out in such a way. And so I said, that's really good. You know, that's giving me, that's helping. And so I would present what I wanted to achieve, and then he would kind of give some suggestions, and I could choose what I felt would best accomplish the goals in mind. And then the cast, just wonderful working with this cast. Ashley Bratcher, Jen Gotson, a very, very well-known actress in films that are faith films that are very popular right now. And of course, Rusty Martin Sr. and Jr. So just every day being able to work with them. And of course, I had written the script along with my wife. And so, but then when you get on set, you want that to flow. And so the cast would say, why don't we say it in this way? Or have you thought about this? And so many times we would change it. We would change the script right there on set. And they always came prepared. They came with, you know, they had a good understanding of how to make it flow. And so that just made my job a lot easier. And so I was very thankful for this cast and really listened to them when they had, you know, a good input on the dialogue changes.
Yeah. Now, most church media guys like myself, we don't have a budget to do a big feature film like you. Now, give us some funding ideas. How do you go about funding the movie? And are there any lessons for us in that in your process?
Funding is one of the most challenging aspects of any media production. And it's a great question because we, you know, initially we were trying to raise a larger budget in the, you know, hundreds of thousands, but the Lord just wasn't allowing us to, you know, secure those funds. And initially I was working, trying to find investors. Okay, so that was the first step, is I was actually actively looking for investors. And the Lord did lead us to some investors. So an initial sum was brought on or secured by investors. Okay, so that's the first aspect. And then to help us, once we actually had the movie produced, in post-production, so the editing and the sound effects and all of that, I actually went to Kickstarter and was able to go to directly to the crowd and say, look, here's what we have produced with this amount of money. Would you please help us to finish the project? And we've got, you know, our composer to pay. We've got a colorist to pay. And so the crowd jumped in, and we got another set of funds. And for a very low budget, we were able to accomplish quite a bit. And so it's really those two aspects, the investors and the crowd funding, that enabled us to, you know, wrap this movie up and to then be able to take it to audiences.
I'm sure you guys are, especially this being your first one, you and your wife, I'm sure you're just so proud that you accomplished this big feat, this big thing. You can actually look back and say, hey, we made a movie together. Do you feel that? And what are you most proud of?
You know, it is quite an accomplishment to actually get something like this made, whether it's, you know, you've pulled off an event or you've written a book. It takes time. I mean, we've been working on this movie actively for about 5 years. And I think a lot of people just really don't realize, and that's fine, they don't realize the incredible amount of time that goes into a movie. And there's such, you know, there are so many movies flooding the market. Even at this time, we're seeing an upsurge of faith-based films and Christian films. So just that the Lord allowed us to make this movie, it's just thrilling, Carl. It's, you know, and when we look at it, when I first put the edit together and seeing some of the performances that God allowed us to capture, it just brought tears to my eyes. And my wife and I, we are most excited, I would say, to share the central message of this movie, that it is about love. That when we stop greedily grasping and saying, what can I get out of a relationship? Instead, how can I serve? That just completely changes the way that single young people approach relationships. And it's not even just singles. Actually, in all of our relationships, love is that core, that central aspect of the Christian religion that, you know, that the Word of God calls us to. And it's by that people will know that we are Christ's disciples, that we have love towards one another.
That's so true, man. And that is actually the pinnacle of our ministry, in that 1230 Media comes from Mark 1230, where Jesus talks about the greatest commandment ever is to love him and love people. And Amen. So, man, that is so true. Now, you mentioned faith films being very popular right now. What do you think that this tells us about audiences and their desire for encouraging and uplifting messages?
Oh, I definitely think there's a hunger for it, and it's exciting. It really is to see a larger number of filmmakers stepping up, even churches, you know, like Sherwood Pictures. Just God bless them for their vision, and they have really inspired many other filmmakers. And now I know that, you know, the Kendrick brothers have stepped off in a little bit different direction, and they're trying to bring in some filmmakers now and train them. And so I think that's just excellent, because it's important for us as filmmakers to pay attention both to the craft and the message, and to have a pleasing balance, to make it excellent. I just saw Woodlawn recently and was just so impressed, so just completely blown away, really, with the excellence of the craft, and yet such a strong message in there, woven into the narrative of, you know, how can we solve these issues of racial injustice and these kinds of things? And it's through the gospel. And so I'm really excited to see that these faith-based films and the Christian message rising to the top. And I think we're seeing an improvement in the craft, and it's just a matter of time before, you know, we're able to compete in the marketplace. So I'm thrilled just to be involved in it at this time.
Yeah, me too, man. It's incredible. Man, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. Talk to me about Princess Cut one more time. How can we jump in? How can we get involved? How can we see the film?
Yeah, let me direct folks directly to the website. The official website is princesscutmovie.com. And there you can click on the tab that says theaters. It'll have a list of where the movie is playing in limited release. We're also coming up to our DVD and home market release, and it'll be available on digital, on iTunes. So just go to that website, and it will be right there. The DVD will be for sale. PrincessCutMovie.com.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get exclusive content for your team online now at 1230media.com.
Guys, Paul's knowledge and insight can help us as church media directors in producing and directing our short-form stories, testimonies, and other pieces for our churches. My prayer is that we can learn from guys like Paul how to tell stories and produce content that will inspire people. All right, quick break. When I come back, my interview with Badge of Faith director Donald Liao. The interview, moments away. Check this out.
Dad, do you think that there's just one perfect person out there that we're supposed to find and marry?
How much is that one?
It's a brilliant choice. Would you like to see it?
Maybe he's gonna pop the question. You have to tell me all the juicy details.
I thought we had a date.
Them? They're just college buds. They won't be in town long.
Why does this keep happening to me? First Bryce, then Stuart.
Well, sounds like the Lord kept you from a big disaster.
I'm beginning to think he doesn't even want me to get married.
If you're ever gonna nab a hot guy, you need to get a new wardrobe.
Any past relationships?
I feel like my heart's been passed around like a football.
Fathers give their daughters in marriage.
So what are you saying?
Who am I gonna give our daughter to? Most young men today have no clue what it means to be a man.
I'm looking for a friend of mine. Do you know him?
What are you doing here?
Were you expecting someone else?
I've stood behind that counter and watched people fall in love over coffee. Can happen anywhere, anytime.
If you're looking for Drew, he might be down by the barn.
Thanks.
Ah. I think you're amazing.
This young lady is looking for Clint.
Hello, stranger.
I'm really sorry. I didn't want Grace to get a surprise like this.
Just go away and leave me alone.
Who you marry is a decision you're going to have to make yourself. But I'm here to help you. To guide you. If you'll trust me.
Hey guys, I'm Ashley Bratcher, an actress and author at 1230media.com. I had the privilege of starring in the film Princess Cut, which you just heard the trailer for. The movie is now available on DVD and digital HD, and I want to encourage you to see it and to tell your production teams about the film. You can get your copy of the movie and get tons of free resources for your volunteers at princesscutmovie.com. That's princesscutmovie.com.
Welcome back. I want to tell you about another film director that is well known for his global documentaries and pieces for charities around the world. Donald Liao is an award-winning filmmaker who sits on several boards of directors and has served as a consultant and trainer for media production students in over 30 countries. He has produced and directed the films For the Glory and Touched by Grace. You can find out more about his latest film, Badge of Faith, at stonetablefilms.com. The film is about a cop named Brian Lawrence, who's dedicated his career to the concept of protect and serve, but a chance encounter with two fugitives ends with Brian being kicked in the face, paralyzing him from the neck down. His injury was the same as that of actor Christopher Reeve. I spoke with Donald about how he turned from missionary to filmmaker and how he is still involved in both fields today. We also talked about the journey of bringing Brian's incredible true story to film and how you and your church can support it. My interview with director Donald Liao. I'll be back to wrap things up in just a bit. Check this out. I'm privileged to have Donald Liao on the phone with me. Donald is the producer and director of three films to date, including For the Glory and Touched by Grace. He just wrapped his new film, Badge of Faith, which is based on a true story of Brian Lawrence, a cop who becomes paralyzed by an encounter with two fugitives. Donald, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today, man.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, sir. Now tell me a little bit about yourself and your story. How did you start the journey of producing and directing films?
You know, interestingly, I never studied film, so that's out of the box for me. I kind of worked with a mission organization all my life, and I'm actually a missionary by profession, all right? So I'm firstly more a missionary than a filmmaker.
Okay.
And I moved to Virginia about 7 years ago, because a friend invited me here to work with him on a film, and that was For the Glory. My wife and I felt called back into the mission field, so we quit the job. And then, however, while we're doing mission, the Lord still want us to do film, so we did Touched by Grace, and then we continued with Batch of Faith, and hopefully more films to come.
Now, tell me about Stone Table Films. What do you guys want to accomplish with your movies?
Well, Steve, my partner in Stone Table Film, and I, I suppose you could say our goal, our objective, or whatever you want to call it, our purpose, is to bring stories into the movie. We like to entertain, but at the same time, we like to tell a good story, a story that would have a good message, Christian message especially. But then we also want to avoid a preaching type of movie. So we want a story movie and not a message movie. You know my drift?
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
And then on my mission side of things, actually I spend about 60% of my time doing mission work. And on my mission side of things, I do message-driven videos.
Oh, okay. Do you ever get to show your movies on the mission field? Do you get to use those as you're out ministering to people?
Well, what I do in my mission work is actually I am not out there working directly with the end user, but I provide expertise to a mission organization. So I help them produce media, most of it voluntarily. Like next week I'm going to China. And I'm helping dubbing a series of 45 message videos into 10 different Chinese languages. So you're talking about 450 videos I'm helping to dub.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
that's a five-year project. I'm volunteering myself for. I'm crazy, but that's what I'm doing.
Wow.
And then last week, I just came back from Israel. I just came back from Israel when you contacted me, and I was actually in Israel, and I'm shooting a series of video about the revival movement starting from Israel and tracing the revival movement all around the world.
Oh, wow. Very cool. That's very cool. Yeah. Is that going to be more of a, is that a documentary style, or would that be a feature?
It's a documentary style. It'll be short. Our aim is to do eight doc video, about 22 and a half minutes per video. And again, this is voluntary. I'm helping the mission organization to spread their wings through media, because it's really expensive for them to hire. So a lot of them know me from my past, and they've always asked me to help them.
That's very cool. All right, so let's talk about Badge of Faith. Tell me about the story, how it came to you, and how did you go about the process of turning Brian's experience into a movie?
Well, when Steve and I finished Touched by Grace, that was 2 years ago, we started looking into the next film. And then, you know, as filmmaker, whenever people ask you what you do, and you say, you kind of like, I make movies. They always, if you're talking to some parents, they always have a son or a daughter who has a really good child who can sing. or if you're talking to an individual adult, they always have a story to tell you. we try to not talk about ourselves that much, but then we do get a lot of stories. And then out of the blue, Steve told me, said, you know what, when I was growing up, he said, you know, I was praying about what we need to talk, we need to share about in the next movie. And then he said, you know, when I was growing up, my friend Brian Lawrence, and then he started telling me about Brian Lawrence's story. You know, they were childhood buddies. And then he said, when this thing happened to Brian, a lot of people approached him about making his film, his story into a film. But Brian wasn't keen, because he was afraid that people would take his story and then change it and make it about Brian Lawrence, the hero, you know? Brian said very clearly to me when I interviewed him, he said, you know, this story is not going to be about Brian Lawrence, it's going to be about God. And then I candidly replied to him, I said, Brian, how do I tell a story about Brian Lawrence without telling about Brian Lawrence? I said, I have to talk about Brian Lawrence, but I will make sure that the story will glorify God, and it will not glorify Brian Lawrence. I said, is that okay? He said, let me pray about it. So he and his wife prayed about it, and then the next day, Steve called him and said, okay, you have our rights to do it. You know.
Wow.
So that was cool.
So, for those who don't know the story, tell me about the plot of the film. What's his story? What's his experience that you turned into a movie?
Well, Brian, he's at RonoCop, and this is new to me. You know, where I come from, I came from Singapore, where all police officer has one job, and that's a police officer. They're not allowed any part-time job. But apparently in America, they're not paid enough, so they have to have part-time jobs. So Brian Lawrence, in the evening, he actually worked in a car dealership. You know how car dealership has their cars out in the open?
Yeah.
So they actually hire ex-cops or cops to be their night watchmen. So Brian was doing one of this job one night, and he received a call on the radio that two black males, you know, the description was given, and that they robbed somebody, and then he says, well, he called in to say, I'm near there, I'm going to go check. And so he went and checked, and he saw two guys fitting the description. So he went and confronted the guys, and they ran. Now the part of the story that we didn't tell was that, and this is actually what happened, this tells you how smart crooks are. So he got one of the crooks' driver's license, and then they started running off. So he gave chase, and then he caught one of them. Now the other guy turned around and kicked Brian on the face and broke his neck right there and then. And Brian was paralyzed right there and then. Now, the thing is this, Brian still was holding on to the the driver's license of the other guy.
The guy didn't grab it, huh?
Yeah, so that's one of the reasons how they got arrested. But,
oh, wow.
But then he broke his neck right then, and he could not move. And Brian said to me, he says, as clear as he was talking to me, he said, I heard God's voice. And God says, breathe, Brian, breathe. Because if Brian shut down, he's going to die.
Mm.
Yeah. So he said he kept hearing this voice telling him to breathe. So he started breathing. And it took a while before the police found where he was lying down. And then, you know, as you watch a movie, you'll be surprised that the doctors were surprised that Brian was able to talk. Because anybody in this situation should not be able to talk, should not be able to give you any information. But, you know, to put in perspective the injury Brian has, Brian has the same injury as Christopher Reeve.
Oh, okay.
Christopher Reeve never got out of his wheelchair, right? Despite all the millions and millions of dollars and probably extra help that doctor put in. Brian, in 1 year, just 1 year, got out of his wheelchair and never got back in.
Wow, remarkable. Yeah. That's incredible.
And Brian says, this is all God, it's not him. Yeah.
Wow.
So today he's a retired cop, and he's a full-time pastor of a small little church called Cave Rock Baptist Church in Roanoke.
Okay, now tell me about Andy Lauer. Plays him in the film, plays Brian in the film. Now, Andy, for those of you who don't know, Andy had a starring or supporting role, rather, in the TV series Caroline in the City. He's also played in such films as Iron Man 3, Gun Shy with Liam Neeson, and others. And now, Donald, how did you connect with him and the other cast members? How did casting go?
Well, Andy is a remarkable actor. I love working with him. He is so funny. I mean, I'll give you the first encounter I had with him. He walked right up to my face and he said, he pulled up a breath freshener, you know, those that you spray in your mouth. He says, don't worry, if any actors have to come face to face with me, I have this. So I looked at it, I said, I need it. I took it from him. Now, this is when there was a big group of us. You know, I was just kidding with him. I took it. I said, I need it. I took it from him. And he says, don't worry, I have a spare. And he took out another one. That was my first encounter with him. He was so funny. Now, Andy came about through a casting agency. I used a casting agency down in Charlottesville, Virginia. And then the interesting thing was my first AD and the writer and also my co-producer, Rick Garside, he's also a filmmaker. He's made this film called Faith Happens. It's not out yet. But Andy had a role in Faith Happens. Not a major role, but it's a supporting role. And then when Andy came on and he saw Andy, you know, auditioning, he says, oh, I forgot about him. He's really good. So we narrowed down to three actors, one in Wilmington, one actually is from Virginia, and then Andy is from California. And after the second and third round of auditioning, we decided to go with Andy because we just love the way he's able to portray Brian. He has a good humor. He spoke with Brian extensively, and when we just enjoyed him.
Excellent. Now, our audience at 1230 Media is, again, consists of church media directors, guys producing content for churches, short-form testimonies, short films, little mini-movies, that sort of thing. What are some things or some advice that you've learned in producing and directing three films now that you could pass on to them?
Well, I mean, I produced three films in the last 6 years in America, and then thousands of videos while I was in Asia, and other films while I was in Asia also. I want to say that if God gave you the vision and the dream, you know, push on with it. But you got to really make sure that it is God's vision for you, because making films ourselves, we have seen many young people come up and say, you know, God gave us this idea, and sometimes I really wonder if it is their idea or God's idea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we really, you know, when you want to invoke the name of God, you better be sure it is God and it is not your own personal dream. But if God really wants you to do it, He will provide a way. I mean, I never came to America with the idea that I'm going to be making film. It just happened. It just happened. It wasn't my dream to be a filmmaker, a producer. I'm as happy as can be if I'm the coffee guy providing coffee at a film set, if that's what God wants me to do. But somehow I have friends and supporters and investors who are willing to invest their life and their money in helping me tell the story. And obviously, the most important thing about any film is a story. I mean, if you don't have a good story, don't even start.
Forget about it.
If you don't have a good story, don't even consider that. Now, personally, I also help churches by teaching filmmaking.
Okay.
So that's what I do. I mean, I like to impart. Missionaries have imparted their life into my life, and that's what I love to do.
So if a church is listening and they want your training, where can they go to find that?
Well, they actually just have to contact me personally. They could write to info@stonetablefilms.com. I think one last thing I want to say to those people in your church people who are working in the media, you know, don't give up, right? It's very easy to get frustrated, especially when you're doing a project and it looks like this thing is going on forever and ever and ever and you don't see any results. Just don't give up. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Now, tell us again about Badge of Faith and where can we see it? How can we get involved? How can we learn more about the film?
That's a mighty good question. That's, you know, for any filmmaker, I always say, for me, making the film is the easy part. It's distributing the film that is the tough part. We have several screenings coming up. The next one coming up will be in Goldsboro, North Carolina. And that is on October the 26th at the Paramount Theater, I think. Yeah, I'm pulling that up. Yeah, Paramount Theater in Davis Mill Road, Fremont, North Carolina. And then we have another one coming up in Roanoke, also on October the 26th, Roanoke, Virginia. And we have one coming up on November the 17th in Christiansburg, Virginia. Now, all these are either churches who are working with us to bring the film to their city, or individuals who would like to work with us to bring the film into their cities. So, listeners, if you are interested to work with us, to help us, write to me, you know, at info@stonetablefilm.com and then stonetablefilms.com. And I can give you information how to work with us to bring the movie into your city.
Excellent. Again, to find out more about Badge of Faith and Stone Table Films, go to stonetablefilms.com. Donald, thank you so much for joining me today and spending some time chatting today, man.
Well, thanks for calling, man.
Again, the website to find out more about Badge of Faith is stonetablefilms.com. Well, that's it for us this week. I want to thank my guests on the podcast today, directors Paul Munger and Donald Liao. I hope you've enjoyed catching up with them and can implement some of the directing tips that they mention into the short films and pieces that you produce for your church. You can catch my full interviews with Paul and Donald on our blog at 1230media.com/blog. As always, I want to thank my producer, David Michael Hyde. David is a contemporary composer and music producer for film and digital media. The man himself can be found online at davidmichaelhyde.com. Thanks for listening to the podcast this week. I'm honored to hang out with you each and every week. These interviews also came from you guys submitting emails telling me the kinds of guests that you would like to hear from. I welcome your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast, so feel free to keep emailing me directly at carl@1230media.com. Go out there, guys, and create some incredible experiences this Sunday. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast. Get the show notes for today's episode at 1230media.com/podcast. And be sure to rate and review this podcast in iTunes. For more free Church Media resources, visit 1230media.com. We'll see you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.